Our scripture reading today is taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Scripture enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Ted. That passage of Scripture will be used for every lay reader to prove that way they prove their worth. By reading that, especially when you get to all the names of those towns and cities. You did an excellent job with that. You ought to go into education. thanks to the bell choir. I want to get over there when you're doing that and just ring a bell. I want to ring a big bell, though. Or maybe the smallest of bells. I just want to ring a bell. Some people said I was a ding-a-ling anyway, but I don't know about that. I do have another special announcement to make. Some of you will appreciate, especially since it has to do with one of the members of our congregation by the name of Jeff Gray. Tomorrow, Jeff Gray will become a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force. And those of you who have been in the military know that that's not just a passing fancy. It just does not come automatically. You have to know the right people. I think that's the way it works. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this time of service and worship, this opportunity to be with you in this great day of Pentecost. Touch us with your grace and goodness as we worship in your holy name. And may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have so many memories of my early childhood on a farm in Pennsylvania, and this time of the year always makes those memories even more endearing. Memories about running through the fields with Lassie and Laddie, our collies. That was almost like a TV program at one point in time. I was a big game hunter in those days with my Red Ryder BB gun and you know, roamed across the mountains and the fields of Pennsylvania. I was a farmer when I helped my dad in the field where I picked the ripe tomatoes and the beans and the beets for the market. And I have to confess, food always tastes better when it comes right from the farm. And when you're a farmer's son and you live on that farm and you eat those fresh, ripe tomatoes or the wonderful hearts of gold cantaloupe, it warms the cockles of my heart to think of those wonderful, wonderful days. Food always tasted better, especially Mother's strawberry shortcake. Oh, did she know how to make strawberry shortcake? Not one of those little foam rubber kinds of things, but real shortcake, you know, with the strawberries piled high. Oh, yes, and by the way, I ate it how? In a bowl with milk and sugar on it. That's the way you do it in Pennsylvania. I rode the school bus. Mr. Lebo was the bus driver. Dick and Cleo and Chico were some of my best friends. Mrs. Hoover was my teacher. My brother was 7 years older than I, and he went off to the Navy even before I was a teenager. And my sister is 4 years younger than I, and she always had her way, and I was nothing but a middle child. Now, I won't bother you about a whole lot of details, but I have to confess, when I look back on those years, there were a lot of aha kinds of moments that I still remember as if they were yesterday. Those moments that grace my brain in ways that other things don't. And I remember them with great affection and a great deal of laughter and joy in my life. I'd like to share one of those moments with you, however, this morning. And it was sort of triggered in my mind by Faith Hill. I don't know her personally, but I know her songs. And she sings a wonderful song. I'll lift up some of the words for you because I think you'll appreciate them. This is the way it goes. Before you met me, I was a fairy princess. Not me. We're talking about Faith Hill. I caught frogs and called them prince and made myself a queen. Before you knew me, I traveled round the world. I slept in castles and fell in love because I was taught to dream. I found mayonnaise bottles and poked holes on top to capture Tinkerbell. And they were just fireflies to the untrained eye. I believe in fairy tales and dreams like bedsheet sails. And I believe in Peter Pan and miracles and anything I can to get by. And fireflies. And fireflies. Just fireflies. But oh, I remember fireflies. And the mason jar. Mom, would you mind giving me a jar? And I want the lid on it too, Mom. What are you going to do? Well, you'll see. And I used to get those mason jars and puncture some holes in the top of the lids. And I would go out in the yard behind the farmhouse and catch those little lightning bugs, as we called them. Little lightning bugs. And marvel at the wonder of the gift they provided. Ah, just one of those moments from the past, an aha moment. But I read up on those fireflies and getting ready for today, and I have to confess that it was a moment for the lightning bugs as well. A great experience for them, because you see, the glowing fireflies that we see only come from the male of the species. And when the female fireflies see the lights, what do? They go, aha! And they fly toward the light. Today is Pentecost, the anniversary of that first century day when the Holy Spirit came in might and power in a way that changed the lives of the disciples and us forever. They were all hunkered down in a house, you know. They were all together, feeling sorry for themselves, unsure about their future, unsure of what was going to happen, when all of a sudden an aha moment takes place that changed them. It was sort of like a wildfire, like the Holy Spirit coming in and spreading through the followers of Jesus, and they were never the same again. The whole world was never the same again. They were not transfixed anymore. They were opened up to a new horizon that they had never dreamt possible because of this day 2,000 years ago. And at first, without warning, there was a sound. You can almost hear it. A sound like the rush of a mighty wind. I'd like to try to define that. Maybe a gale force wind that filled the entire house. You can almost feel that wind. They're sort of moving with it. I think the walls are rattling some and the roof is shaking a bit. It's that kind of a wind, the kind of wind that you experience in a hurricane, if you've ever been in one. Whew. The Gulf Coast is sweet until the hurricane comes through. Or if you've ever lived in a place where there was a tornado and the winds swirl and whirl and you do everything you can to get out of its way. Or it might be the sound we experience here on this hill. No one else experiences the wind in Colorado like we do on this hill. I'm convinced of it the longer we're here. And remember this year as we gathered for Christmas and Easter services, what took place? If you were here, you remember very easily. The roads were treacherous. The parking lot was hard to see. Car doors were almost impossible to open. The wind was so strong. And once you got them open and you slithered out, they slammed back shut. As we made our way into the church, oh yes, you know, we prepare for Christmas and Easter with such finality. We want to look our absolute best. But I tell you, when you arrived through those doors, you had looked like you had been through a hurricane. Oh, the beautiful hair was now totally disheveled. We held on to each other as we made our way into worship. And in the wind and in the snow, for some unknown reason, we knew God was going to be here. And we got here. We did whatever it took to get here. I was totally overcome. On Easter, was it Easter? 600 people showed up for services in the snow and the wind. Why? Because the wind got a hold of you. It was not just the wind in Colorado. It was not the wind on this hill. It was the wind of that Spirit that drove you. It was one of those aha moments that captured you in a way that only God can do. You would not have been here otherwise. And these were not just the young who showed up. I would say the first people who arrived early in the morning on Easter were not the 20-year-olds. They were more like the 50, 60, 70, 80-year-olds who showed up in the midst of the wind because God drove them here. The wind, we knew God was near, and so did the followers of Jesus. And that's just when the Holy Spirit comes upon all who are gathered. And Luke tells us, and I quote, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. And some of it was in Pennsylvania Dutch. I am sure of that as I come together with you this morning. What was once a message for a small fellowship became the message for the world. Peter quotes the prophet Joel, who announces, every nation under heaven is moved by God's presence. And in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, and your daughters and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And I have to tell you, some of the finest dreams in the world come from old men. I've talked with some of you who are old. I know that. And the flame still burns. The wind and the flame still burns. And Pentecost is more than just a fleeting moment that happened 2,000 years ago. Or is it? Or is it just a fleeting moment? If you go into many churches today, you'll find that this may be the only day of the year they even talk about the wind and the flame of Christ. Some churches don't talk about it at all. And yet it is the most significant event in our lives. It's what brings us here today, that the Word of Christ, the Word of God, was for everybody throughout the world, and you would be transformed by it. No longer fixed in place, but transformed by an aha moment that can be yours every day that you live. This is not something you wait for God to give you. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Knock and the door you will be opened unto you. Pentecost is the same way. Seek it every day. And allow the wind to sweep over your lives. And the flame to burst through your experiences. And know who the living Christ is. In this world of artificial lighting, it is so easy to forget Pentecost and forget the words of John's gospel when he said Jesus was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. Have you nurtured the light and the wind and the flame in your lives? Have you nurtured it? Have you waited for it? Have you tried to make it happen? Have you asked for it? Have you looked for it? Have you looked around, maybe to the person inside of you or in front or back of you? Have you looked at the sky lately? Have you looked at your family? Have you allowed those Pentecost experiences to explode, little moments explode in your lives each day? And because of that, you're just never the same again. Now you're missing the aha moments that would recharge your life every day in Christ. Chuck Colson, who is chairman of the Prison Fellowship Ministry, he founded in 1976, that is, I'm thinking very patriotic, 1976. He seems to think that many of us have forgotten what Pentecost is really all about. You may remember that Colson was one of the White House hatchet men during the Watergate scandal. Spent some time in prison, but in prison he became free when he found Jesus Christ. And he began a work with prison ministries that continues until today. But he also noticed something in his experience in prison that intrigued him, and he called it the prison shuffle. And he goes on to say this, jailed people trudging along, just doing their time. Jailed people plodding along who had thrown the towel and quit it on life. Jailed people hobbling along with bowed heads, slumping shoulders, broken spirits. Jailed people lumbering along, he says, apathetic and bitter, defeated and disillusioned. Jailed people moping along with lethargic legs and sluggish souls. And Colson goes on to point out, and I quote, there are people all around us, indeed maybe some of us, who are not physically in jail, but still spiritually doing the prison shuffle. And that's what your life depicts. There's no spring in the steps anymore. No laughter that bounces off the walls. No zip, no life, no joy. Life is just dull and gray drabness. It's the routine we experience every day. You get up in the morning, drink the coffee, read the paper, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch television, go to bed. There's nothing more to it. Just doing time, Colson says. Are we guilty of the same thing, just doing time? And the message of Pentecost is that we no longer have to do time. That's it. That's the message. You no longer have to do time or just go through the motions of looking like a Christian. You can actually be one and be free. Be free to be silly and stupid. Be free to do dumb things. Be free to take risks. Be free to fail as well as succeed. Be free to love without hesitation. Be free to forgive because Christ forgave you. Aha moments are there for you. Just a few and then I'll shut up. Recently I sat on a wooden bench on a pier that jettisoned out over the inlet near our son's home in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I walked there early in the morning with a cup of coffee to capture just a few moments of quiet time. Have you been there? The water was calm. The wind ever so slight, and the scenery serene. And I sat there for just a moment and shut my eyes and experienced Pentecost. Just a moment of God's grace that touched a weary soul. Or perhaps another one of those aha moments came when my 3-year-old granddaughter, oh golly, is she beautiful. She looks like her mother, and she looks like her grandmother did in days gone by. And she reached up her hands like this and said, "Opa," which is what she called me. And I picked her up and I held her. Fireflies, lightning bugs. Wow. I melted. And even as we came back and the plane landed in Colorado Springs and taxied to the terminal, I was sitting on the right-hand side of the aircraft and I glanced out of the window to my left. It was a beautiful day, one of the first you had while I was gone. And I happened to get just a glimpse of Pike's Peak, as majestic as ever with its white cap and the sun shining down upon it. And the only thing I could think of that came to my mind was, "And God said, it is good." See, those are the moments that are there for you to capture and to have capture you. That's what Pentecost is all about. It's not about a one-day experience. It's about a lifetime of experiences. The psalmist writes, "Our God comes and does not keep silent. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him." Pentecost continues. It is not just today, it is every day. It is an experience for you to be dazzled by the Spirit's flame, to be blown away by the winds of God's grace. Just open your minds and open your hearts and open your lives to the moments that God gives you to behold, and you will know what Pentecost is really all about. Amen.